This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday as we cruise on into the weekend. We have all kinds of different things this hour. It will be up and down and serious and not serious. I've got a serious thing. The boys are 17 and 15 now. They don't care about Christmas lights, all right? And Ob is still insisting that when we find a place that has a lot of Christmas lights, that we take the boys to go see Christmas lights. Chris knows exactly what I'm talking about. And now we're at this place where the boys, you know, they're starting to become little men. Then you'll get little attitude pop up here or there. Obviously, it's kept in check in our house, but they're human beings. They're going to sprout their wings a little bit. Now they're starting to give me the side eye as soon as she suggests it. And then I'm stuck in an impossible situation because I don't want to go see any stupid Christmas lights either. But she wants to, and we want to do something nice for her. So I have to kind of walk a tightrope. You see, everybody's got problems. Jesse, the subject of this one is indecent picture scammers. Just a heads up, I brought up a story on Tuesday. A young man, I believe he was 15 years old, killed himself because there is a huge online criminal enterprise now to coerce young people, young boys, young girls, using AI and scamming and all kinds of things to fool them into the doing something, sending a picture they shouldn't send, saying something they shouldn't say. And then that's when the extortion hammer drops and it's, hey, send us $500 or we'll tell your pastor and your teacher and everything else. And I did a whole segment on it and then pulled my boys aside when I got home and talked to them about it extensively because I want parents to know. And if you're a kid listening, I know we have kids listen. I want you to know today, because of the advancements in technology, you don't have any idea who you're talking to online. No, but I saw her picture. She's so pretty. Yeah, it's fake. No, but we video called. Yeah, that's fake too. They can do all that stuff now. Fake voice, fake everything. It's all fake. It's all fake. And it'll feel real, right? Anyway, this guy said, Jesse, Father Jesse, thank you so much for exposing the story on inappropriate picture extortion on the show Tuesday. As the father of a son who fell victim to it, I appreciate you making other parents aware of this horrible scheme. These demons do exist, and they don't care one bit what your child might do to themselves as a result of this evil. I would like to add, as a parent, please pay attention and notice when things are off with your kid. I found out about it because my son came to me and asked for his social security number. I thought this was odd. He said he was 15 at the time. I was eventually able to pull out what happened from him from there, and we resolved it, but it was terrifying for him and his mother and I. I am blessed to have been able to give him the support he needed, and now we are all wiser, but it could have been much worse. Thank you for being a guide for other families. I'm not a guide. I'm just a dad just like you are. I'm no guide, right? I'm no role model, no guide. It's just, I'll tell you something. I want to reinforce this because I brought it up again with my boys when I pulled them aside and discussed this. Make sure your kids know if you do screw up somehow, some way, there will be no judgment if you come to us. We will figure it out together. You'll be embarrassed. You'll be mortified. And I said, it doesn't have to be, you know, bad pictures or something like that. I don't care if it's gambling debt, whatever it is. We've told our kids this. Now, by the grace of God, our kids are not boozers or anything like that, right? But you never know. They're young men that could get into that tomorrow. They could get into it tonight. For all I know, all kinds of temptation out there. We've told them, you're ever at a place, don't ever get in a car with somebody. No judgment. There'll be no grounding. There'll be no nothing. You call. We'll come pick you up. No questions asked. Get you out of there. All right? So when it comes to this stuff, remind your kids that they can come to you. Drive that point home. If you read these stories, a big thing of what pushes these kids over the edge is they don't feel like there's anyone they can talk to. Yeah, I can't go talk. I can't go tell mom. I can't go tell dad. He'll kill me. My school is going to expel me. My life is over. And remember, the bad guys specialize in twisting those screws. Yeah, your life is over. I'll destroy you. Everyone's going to hate you. That's what pushes them too far. Make sure they know now. Hey, Jesse, what is the reason? What is the real reason immigrants hate America? Okay, well, first of all, pause. You know my thoughts on illegal, illegal immigration. You know my thoughts. I don't have to clarify them, but all immigrants do not hate America. That is not true. Depending on where they're from, depending on a few different things, immigrants can be some extremely patriotic people. Cubans might be the most hardcore Americans there are. I love Cubans, just that way. But in general, we clearly have a loyalty problem with the masses of foreigners we brought here. So I'll tell you a little story. In the area where I live, there was this older couple, I want to say 60s, so not super old, but they were in their 60s, right? I did not know them personally. It was one of those things I'd say hi to them. We knew each other's name, but that was it, an older couple. And I didn't live right next door. They were a couple blocks away from me. He, freaking tragic, but it happens all the time, heart attack, dead, out of nowhere in the shower, out of nowhere. Kids are already out of the house, and boom, this lady is a widow. All right, she's a widow. Widows need to be cared for, right? One of my good friends in the area, he is her next-door neighbor, lives right next door to her. And so he started doing really so much for her when it came to work around the house, changing light bulbs, whatever. But one thing he would do religiously is he would mow her lawn every single Saturday. Mow her lawn every single Saturday. He did this, I'm going to guess on the time, 6 months to a year. Every Saturday, her husband used to do it, wanted to make sure she had a nice looking lawn so at least she didn't have to worry about that. Wonderful thing to do, right? He used to live in California, goes back to California. I forget, it was some kind of family event, family reunion or something like that. And he goes for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks. When he gets back home from California after 2 weeks, before his bags are unpacked, she is pounding on his front door. He opens up the door, thinks, what the, it's everything okay? But she's not afraid. And she is not sad. She is angry. And she chews him out. Look at my lawn. Look at the condition. But keep in mind, he's never accepted a dime. Nothing. After 6 months to a year, not only is she not appreciative anymore, she feels completely entitled to it. Completely. Now, I know your blood pressure is probably already up. Jewish producer Chris looks like he's ready to punch somebody in the face over the whole thing. But this is a human nature thing where you do something nice for somebody. Eventually, they get used to it. Then they feel entitled to it. And if you stop doing it, they'll hate you for it. Even the threat of you stopping doing it, they'll hate you for it. Why do these foreigners come here and get elected to office and trash America, and America sucks, and America this and America that? Because America's immigration policy has been so open borders, so suicidal, so insane for so long that the truth is millions and millions and millions of foreigners across the globe, they feel entitled to come here. The very idea that they would not be allowed to come here is offensive to them. And then once they get here, they're not grateful to be here. Where's my next meal? I remember it like it was yesterday under the Biden administration. They were bringing in a bunch of people from El Salvador and stuffing them in hotels in New York City. And they started freaking out, the illegals who just got here, freaking out because there was not authentic El Salvadorian cuisine for them to eat after violating our immigration laws. They didn't walk into the country and bend down and kiss the ground and say, finally, America, I can't wait to serve this country. They came strolling in, having not earned it, having not paid for it at all, and said, what's this crappy food? Give me my pupusas. That's why. They don't appreciate it because we hand it out. That's why. That's why I love Pure Talk, because they hire Americans. I'm sick of these gigantic corporations that hire foreigners to work in customer service. I'm so tired of repeating myself on the phone with customer service. I'm so tired of having to have them repeat themselves 10 times because of the broken English they're trying to spittle into the phone. It drives me insane. You get a hold of Pure Talk, it's almost weird. When you dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, you will speak to an American who speaks English. And honestly, what's better? They're nice. Actually pleasant. It's almost like they want to help you solve problems, answer questions. It's bonkers, I know. But that's what happens when your CEO was Mac V. Sog in Vietnam for two tours. You tend to lean towards patriotism. Switch your cell phone service, #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Okay. She ain't never scared and she ain't never been. Who was willing to go toe-to-toe against the president? I can't wrap my head around.
Why are you rejecting the rap songs, Chris? It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Hey, Jesse, are Republicans a real political party? Every single time they're in power, they completely squander it. The Dems are able to continue wielding power as a total minority, while the Republicans seem to do everything they can not to enact the policies they were elected for. Is the GOP just a front to keep the right complacent while they destroy our country altogether? I don't know that I would call it a front. So let me explain something. I want you to picture something, right? You know what a totem pole is? One of those Indian things, right? Different things on the totem pole. Now let's assume the items on top are the most important, right? The items on bottom are the least important, right? Stay with me. So I want you to think about the GOP like the totem pole. The GOP congressmen and senators, there aren't many good senators, but the GOP members of the House and the Senate, there are really, really, really good ones. Good ones. They want what you want. They are patriots just like you are. But power-wise, they're kind of at the bottom of the totem pole. Now pause for a moment. What is power? What am I talking about? Let's get more specific than that. Power meaning, are you the head of a committee? Remember how much power committees have in Congress and how much power the chairman of a committee has in Congress. A chairman can kill a bill before it ever sees the light of day. Kill this good amendment or make sure this amendment comes to light, right? The chairman, we all focus on the, you know, Speaker of the House and things like that, but the chairman of the various committees are enormous. I knew Duncan Hunter. He used to be a long time ago. He's long out of Congress now. Duncan Hunter Sr. was the chairman of the military, the House Armed Services Committee. I'm just going to call it the Military Committee so you get it. The House Armed Services Committee. Now, think about the budget the military has in the United States of America. Go look at a pie chart and look at how much of that pie chart of our budget goes to the military. The chairman of the House Armed Services Committee has an insane amount of power. If Duncan Hunter wanted you as a defense contractor, if he wanted you completely cut out from government contracts and destroyed, he could do it like that. Snap of his fingers. If he wanted maybe to toss an extra contract or two your way, get some extra cheddar in your pocket, Christmas bonus going to look good this year. He could make that happen. One man with that kind of power, right? You with me? Now, how do you get to be chairman of any committee? Ways and Means, Armed Services. How do you get to be chairman? If you want to move up that totem pole, if you want to get off the bottom of it and work your way towards the top, you must raise money. You have to raise money and hand that money out to other members of the House of Representatives for their campaigns so they can stay elected, and then potential Republicans so they can get elected. You raise money. When I was running for Congress and losing two times, you know who was a big shot in Congress at the time? Kevin McCarthy. Remember Kevin McCarthy? You know, I've had dinner with Kevin McCarthy. Do you know why? Because multiple times he flew from Washington, D.C. out to Arizona to do fundraisers for me. Why? Was he a big fan of mine? Were we close personal friends? Nope. Never met him in my life. Kevin McCarthy was raising me money because he thought if I got elected, it would guarantee him a vote to be the head of this or the head of that. I would vote to give him an extra level of power. And I wasn't some unique case. These guys who are in leadership, they're on a plane all the time, flying across the country. Fundraiser for you and a fundraiser for you and a fundraiser for you and a fundraiser for you. Raising money. Raising money, which is going to get you more votes and more support to move up that totem pole where you want to be. Now, here's the problem. How much money do you have? If, let's say I started running for United States Senate right now, and let's say you wanted to support my campaign. You believed in my campaign, and you wanted to support my campaign financially. Thank you for your support, by the way. I'm not running, but how much could you give me? Let's say for the sake of argument, you're pretty well off, you're doing okay, and you could write me a maximum check. It used to be $2,400. I'm sure it's more than that by now, but it's going to be somewhere in there. We'll call it $3,000. Okay, so you're rich, and you support me, and you can write me a $3,000 check. Maybe, let's be nice, let's say you've got three or four rich buddies. They'll write the same check. Nice. Thank you. You just raised me $12,000. You know what? That's probably going to get you a personal phone call, a handwritten letter saying thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Raytheon just raised me $2 million. Where's my loyalty? Where's my loyalty? Go look if you want to understand where the loyalty of these people usually resides. You can find it in the FEC report, which is public information. Go find the biggest bundlers, the biggest donors, and that's where their loyalty lies. It's not all of them. The problem is the ones in leadership are generally the biggest turds. Sucks. Now, that's bad news. The good news is for 1995, you can try Relief Factor. For $19.95, you can have your pain disappear out of your life. The endless, relentless, soul-sucking pain that is there all the time, making your life worse, it doesn't have to be there permanently. You do not have to live with it, and you do not have to keep liquefying your kidneys by reaching for that bottle of whatever. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. Relief Factor, go read the testimonials. When you take it, it starts to build up in your system. Your body's already trying to fight the inflammation. Relief Factor helps your body, helps support your body doing it. you might be 3 weeks away from being pain-free. By 2026, your pain might be gone, but you got to make a phone call. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. 3 weeks, pain-free. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, churning and burning through everything here, and we don't have much time left together, so let's continue. Don't forget, Monday's coming. We're going to do Medal of Honor Monday on Monday. We're going to do part four of the Rhodesian Bush War on Monday. I'll try to finish. I'm not sure that I'm going to be finished, and I've got some more bad news for you. Actually, maybe it's great news, depending on how you're at or where you're at with this whole thing. But tonight, the boys have sporting events and stuff with their friends. Ob, because she's way too nice, has agreed to go to some party thing. It's a girls' party. That means daddy's home alone. The chances I'm going to spend hours this evening continuing to obsess on the Rhodesian Bush War, they're very, very strong. In fact, Ob even said to me, "You're going to watch more on that Rhodesia thing, aren't you, tonight?" And I didn't like the way she said it, I'll be honest with you. But yeah, I probably am. I'm hoping to try to wrap things up Monday. Honestly, it may go all week at this point in time. What, Chris? I like what I like. Jesse, I've been interested in politics for many years. Enjoy your show. Today, after listening to the show, I allowed myself to acknowledge that Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and all of Europe are falling to the same disease as Trump is fighting. I know a lot about it, but can you outline what force slash people are behind all this? Has it just been gradual with some accidents, so on and so forth? Okay. Well, there's a lot to that. What is happening? Why does it feel like the same thing is happening in Canada, that's happening in the UK, that's happening in Germany, that's happening in France, that was also happening here under the Biden administration? Globalism, that's something that's been talked about a lot. There have been all kinds of people who brought up that word. Globalism. Remember, globalism and communism are the exact same thing. They have the exact same goals. It's the same thing. Klaus Schwab, that famous guy, the head of the World Economic Forum, the Bond movie villain, he has a bust of someone on his bookshelf. Do you know who that someone is? Vladimir Lenin. They're all communists. Remember that part of the reason it's happening is people, the elites of societies now in Western civilization, they are of a different breed than elites before. And this is what I mean. They don't see themselves as, hey, I want to be a leader of America, even if it's for selfish reasons. I want to lead America. I want to be the president of America. America doesn't mean anything to them. Germany doesn't mean anything to German leaders. France doesn't mean anything to French leaders. You see, when they look out at their countrymen, they don't feel any sense of loyalty in the same way maybe you do or I do. I'll give you an example. I've told you this before. We were in Italy last winter. We were in Italy, and it had been foreigners all day long. All day long, foreigners this and foreigners that and all these different languages. And we were getting ready to go to dinner, me, Ob, and the boys. And we go to the elevator, and there's this older black couple there by the elevator. And they turn and start talking to each other, clearly Americans. And I just said, I just came out of me, I'm like, Americans? And they looked and they're like, yes. We started hugging. We didn't even know each other because I love Americans, right? And they love Americans. It's like, yes, my people. Your leaders don't feel that at all. At all. Do you know who makes them feel that way? Other elites in other countries. The elites in France don't feel some sense of loyalty, some sense of a brotherhood with French people. The elites in France, they feel a sense of brotherhood with the elites in England, with the elites in Sweden, with the elites in America, with the elites in Canada. You see, as I've said so many times before, the problem is They see themselves as kings and queens, not the guardians of Western civilization. And they've decided that if they work together, they can actually rule as kings and queens. And you know what else? And I've got some bad news for you. They talk about this when the doors are closed and they're together. They've also decided that you are going to be a problem. They have big, big dreams for what they want to do with your country. Big dreams. They want to rule it with an iron fist. And those pesky patriots are going to be a problem. So, how do you fix that problem? It's quite simple. There are all kinds of dumps all over the planet full of barbarians. And if you bring enough of them into your country, remember, they look down on those people too, by the way. They just look at them like slaves, essentially. For them, it's basically a slave trade. But if you bring enough of them into your country, then those pesky patriots are completely powerless. They can't do anything to you. And this has been a very, very long process. But all human beings, you and me, do the same thing too. As you go into any situation, maybe it's a new school or a new job or whatever it is, you will eventually, it'll take some time, but you'll figure out who's your ally and who's your enemy. Who's on your side? Who's not on your side? These people, these elites in Western civilization, they're the exact same way. They want to be able to spend all your money. In fact, they want to take all your money first, all of it, every dime, and spend it. They want to take your house, eliminate whatever they want. They want to force you to inject yourself with it. They want digital ID so they can track your every move. And they know that you're going to push back on that. You know who won't? That whole tribe they just brought here from Zimbabwe and put in a tiny town in Ohio. For a $500 Visa card every month and some free rent, those people will agree to everything. They're not going to be a problem at all. The mass importation of foreigners is not a tiny side issue for communists. If you had to make them choose one issue they could keep, they would get rid of abortion. You know that? They'd dump the gays. Gone. You're gone. They just look at them all and say,
why are you gay?
They would dump every other issue if they could only keep one, but the mass importation of foreigners. With the mass importation of disloyal foreigners, communists cannot possibly lose. And without it, they cannot possibly win. Because the only demographic on the planet that poses any kind of a threat to these people is you. Patriotic citizens who don't want their country destroyed, they don't want their dollar confiscated, they don't want their border open, they don't want their kids turned gay, they don't want these things. They will push back against these things, and the elites view you as an opposing army. I know you may think these people lay awake at night and talk about how much they hate Vladimir Putin with each other. They don't give a rat crap about Vladimir Putin. They care about you. You are the threat to them. And this has been going on for a very, very, very long time. Our problem is with the leadership of this country and Canada and Mexico and Germany and France. And what Trump is, he is a stalling, period. He's a stalling action for what these people want. They view him as an inconvenient 4 years. They're just going to try to ride this 4 years out so they can go right back to doing exactly what they were going to do already. And let me tell you, the next time a Democrat gets elected president, it may be Inauguration Day when they open up the border. That's how fast they're going to bring these people in. Get ready for it. All right, one more segment. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. You can email us if you miss us. We'll be back on Monday, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jewish producer Chris just said to me as we were coming back from break that he said, you say you see these people as, or they see themselves as kings and queens, but you feel like a king would be more protective of his people and his country. Well, Chris, I know you've read the Old Testament because you're Jewish, right? Not seriously. In all seriousness, you've read the Old Testament, right? King David is pretty great, right? Patriot. Warrior for his people, right? Solomon came after him. More problems. Patriotic, but okay, give or take. More problems. Then what came after him? And what came after him? And what came after him? Part of the problem with our elites now is they're not the people who built this country. They're the spoiled rich kids who just inherited these lofty positions of power, so they don't have any love or appreciation of the country or its people. There are good kings and there are bad kings all throughout history. What we have now are elites who don't care about the people. You realize that in the United States of America, presidents, generals, admirals regularly had their sons dying in combat in this country? That's just how you were raised. No, you have a sense of duty, boy. Go put your uniform on and go fight. I don't care that I'm a general. Tell me the last time Marine Corps General John Kelly's son actually did it. But with the exception of that, tell me the last time a general or admiral or senator or president's son gave his life on the front lines of this country. No, that's for you, peasant. That's for you construction workers. That's for you farm boys. That's not for us. My son must go to Stanford. And look, maybe he'll want to run for office one day. So look, we'll have him join the military for the minimum number of years. And we'll make sure he's in the JAG Corps or something like that. So he'll never hear a shot fired in anger. And of course, when he runs for office, he'll have his uniform on and everyone will be like, wow, Rambo. But the truth is, he was never in danger at all. They don't feel this love of country you do. And that's the reason you asked the question, Chris. I feel like a king would be more protective of his people. No, you would be. These people aren't. These people are a completely different animal. Oracle. Oracle, I knew Bondi was weak with the Epstein files on our desk. I thought nothing happened. I thought Matt Gaetz was the guy, but I think the commies knew it too. So who's your choice? I don't know that I have a choice. My choice would be the one the swamp doesn't want. Remember that the United States Senate, this happened yesterday, a vote to kind of replace Obamacare with something better, it failed in the Senate. I believe it was 51-49. That means we had Republicans voting against it. There are Republicans in the United States Senate. They will risk everything in order to avoid draining the swamp. Remember that totem pole talk we just had? I mean, John Cornyn's there protecting that totem pole. Doesn't care about you. James Lankford, he's there protecting that totem pole. Doesn't care about you. Lindsey Graham, John Thune, John Kennedy. Yes, I know you love his accent into biscuits. He's a dirty swamp snake just like the rest of them, just has a better sense of humor. Cassidy, all of them. Dirt balls. Hey, Bronco, what's your favorite Christmas movie, Die Hard? Bronco Burger, the University of Arizona has a fantastic basketball program. You should tell everyone at the reunion you were on the 1997 national championship team and steal your wife's thunder. That's a really great idea. Actually, it's a great idea. The problem with that one is I feel like that's the kind of thing Ob would be on the lookout for. She would assume that I would do something like that. I mean, I have done something like that before. Did I ever tell you this story? When we were in the Marines and we were doing some training in Mount Fuji, Japan, they gave us a night off. And of course, we hopped on the train and we cruised on into Tokyo to go see the sights and enjoy the local flavors. McDonald's is delicious, by the way. Delicious. Anyway, I'm not making that up. McDonald's in Tokyo is delicious. But we were walking around, it was Roppongi. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean, but Roppongi, it's a part of town that had a bunch of bars and restaurants and things like that. Well, no one knows who I am. Who am I? I'm a young idiot Marine. What do I know? Well, at the time, there was a basketball player in the NBA, good, but not all-time great. His name was Keith Van Horn. Keith Van Horn was his name. I don't know Keith, by the way. Maybe a dirtball, maybe a great guy. I don't know. Keith, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to impersonate you. Actually, yes, I did. I told everyone I was Keith Van Horn. We wanted to see if we could get what, Chris? Well, I was tall enough. I was 6'8". They're Asian. They don't know any different. It's not like they watch the NBA all the time. I know I don't look like him, Chris. You didn't have to look it up. I was banking on the fact that they were Asian. And look, some bought it, some didn't, but you don't have to get a 10 out of a 10, buddy. In fact, 10%'s good enough when you make sure you talk to 10 people. Jesse, my wife just gave birth to our second little anti-communist baby. Do you have any advice for growing a family in this crazy world we live in? His name is Ron. Go to everything. Absolutely everything you can. I go to every friggin' practice I can, swim meet. When they were, well, they used to be in the band and it was brutal. And I was at every one of those sorry band concerts and things like that. Essentially, I have always tried to operate as if they're going to be gone one day and I'm never going to get the chance to do it again. That's how I try to do it. And I'm not a good father. I'm not claiming I am a good father, but I love my boys and they know it. They friggin' know it all the way. Go to everything. Go to absolutely everything. And work hard to support your family. But remember, that time with them is the time that you'll treasure that the most when you're on your deathbed. When you're on your deathbed, you're not going to say, thank God I worked an extra 10 hours that Saturday instead of going to T-ball. Leave the job alone and go to T-ball. All right? Job will be there on Monday. Now, you put your phone down. Go on a phone fast for a day. 24-hour phone fast. Put your phone down. Soak up family and friends this Christmas season. I'll return on Monday from Medal of Honor Monday, Rhodesian Bush War, and more fun. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.